910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Police in Arizona say there's nothing for the public to worry about after a shooting outside of a TSA checkpoint at Sky Harbor Airport left four people hurt. Phoenix Police Sergeant Maria Reeson said it's believed to be an isolated incident caused by an altercation within a group.
This incident has been resolved. It was resolved very quickly. There's nobody outstanding. We are not looking. We do not believe that there's any suspects out there outstanding. I want to put everybody at ease.
Three people, including a 9-year-old boy, taken to hospitals in New York City after a taxi cab jumped a curb and hit six pedestrians. Police say the driver may have suffered a medical episode. The investigation's underway into what caused the Azerbaijani airliner with 67 people on board to crash into Kazakhstan. Officials there say 38 people were killed and 29 survived. In the U.S., severe weather hammering the West Coast with heavy rain and snow in parts of the region east to the Rocky Mountains. This is ABC.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In trying to make Christmas sexy news, Kim Kardashian has put out a new music video. The reality TV personality released a video under her brother-in-law Travis Barker's label. She used a breathy version of her own rendition of Santa Baby, one of the worst Christmas songs ever, and put images of herself crawling through a party in a blonde wig and skin-colored jeggings. I'm not sure if she realizes it either, but her cleavage was totally showing. I'm sure she's going to give that editor an earful. In the video, there's a donkey, Mary and Joseph, people fighting, people raking money, and a bonfire while people play Twister. For what seems like an eternity, Kim crawls through the chaos with her own singing as a backdrop until she finally stops between Santa's legs and looks up to find it's really Macaulay Culkin. The only good thing about the video is that her singing mercifully stops along with the music about midway through, so it's just her crawling with weird images. It's just something you have to see for yourself, folks. You can check it out free on YouTube, but you'll still want your money back. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks at home tonight in Milwaukee against the Nets. The Bucks are 16-12, 10-4 at home, heading in the right direction. Bobby Portis credits head coach Doc Rivers for the turnaround.
Sometimes when you have a coach that instills confidence in you, it's easy to go out there and play. I played on teams where the coach don't want you to shoot. You know, sometimes you have coaches that have different philosophies and different ways of coaching, and I think his way of coaching kind of instills confidence.
College basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles taking some time off. Their next game is on New Year's Eve. Marquette ranked 8th in the nation. They don't face another ranked team until after January when they host number 11th ranked UConn in Milwaukee. NFL, the Packers holding practice preparing for Minnesota on Sunday. And in college football, a report says the Badgers are losing running back Tawee Walker to the transfer portal. Walker led the team in rushing with 864 yards and 10 touchdowns. Receiver Will Pauling accepting an offer from Notre Dame. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be cloudy and drizzly with a little patchy fog off and on at times here today. Our high right around 36 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at about 10 to 20. Tonight, more fog, more clouds, more drizzle, 34 tomorrow. Cloudy with light rain, 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 25.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
"'Twas the day before Christmas, and all through the station, not a broadcaster was stirring, no sign of frustration. The mics were all shut off, the headphones put down, in hopes that the markets would shortly rebound. The reporters were settled all snug in their chairs, while visions of farm stories danced through the air. With coffee in hand and their laptops in view, they rested up, ready for a busy year, too. When out in the studio there arose such a clatter, they sprang from their desks to see what was the matter. Away to the window they dashed with great speed. Was this a commotion, maybe a story they'd need? The fresh-fallen snow covered the lot and was bright. The weather report with Stu Muck had been right. And what to their wondering eyes did appear but a news truck and the farm babe coming near? A seasoned old anchor with her quips and her isms, I knew in a moment it was Pam and her wisdom. She called out to her team, 'Let's get this show on. We've got a big story and we need it by dawn.' The reporters, they hustled and gathered their gear. They will need the right angle. They will need a deft ear. So onto the airwaves the news can soon fly, with reports on radio waves in the sky. And then in a twinkling you'll hear on the air Stephanie, Ben, and Charity with care. Turn up the dial and listen to the station. We're buzzing to life to address the farm nation. They worked through the day with no sign of rest to bring every farmer the news that was best. And when they were done, they packed up their gear, ready for more farm stories in the new year. When the news was complete, they were all full of cheer, and away they all went to celebrate this year. You'll hear them exclaim as they drive out of sight, 'Merry Christmas to farmers, and to all a good night.'"
I hope you enjoyed that. That was our Midwest Farm Report version of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." You can find the video of that poem featuring the whole team on our Facebook page, Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you on a Thursday morning. Happy holidays to you and yours. We've got a great show for you today that will highlight food and the workforce it takes to bring that food to your table. Squeaky cheese curds and immigration policy are some of the topics today. But before we get there, this particular protein wasn't likely a part of your holiday meals this year, but it might be next year after we learn more about Wisconsin bison. Stick around.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Imagine savoring a tender, flavorful cut of meat that's not only delicious, but also packed with health benefits. Now, picture it coming from one of America's most iconic animals, raised with care and tradition right here in Wisconsin. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and Patrick Reese, board of directors of the Wisconsin Bison Producers Association, says the demand for bison is growing, and his family's farm is ready to meet that while passing down a legacy to the next generation.
Our farm raises bison, and then we also have a meat business called Blue Stem Bison, LLC. We slaughter about 12 animals a year. That puts a supply in the freezers for us for next calendar year until next October. We have about 38 animals out in the field right now. We've been downsizing over the last couple of years because of our age. However, our granddaughter's decided that she'd like to continue with this business, so we're in the process of starting to upsize. She's going to buy some animals, and she's going to sooner or later take over the raising the bison on the farm here and taking over the meat business as well. Meat business is doing great. There's a high demand for meat, and our freezers are full now, so life is good.
The cuts for bison, are they similar to like a cuts of beef, or do you guys target different cuts?
Yes, all the cuts that you have are very similar to beef. We have roasts, we have steaks, you know, sirloin steaks, ribeyes, New York strips, tenderloins, and all the different varieties of roast, rump roast, round roast. Probably the unique thing perhaps with bison is some people do, they do make a hump roast, because the bison have that hump on them, and we used to do that. I don't think we do it anymore. But, yeah, it's the same cuts as beef. I mean, the thing that you're going to find with bison is that it's a heart healthy meat. It's less calories than chicken. It's more protein than beef. It's less fat than turkey, and it has the most iron of all those meats. And then the other thing that we do is all the bison producers don't use any growth hormones or antibiotics or anything like that unless they have to. But for the most part, people don't do anything with their animals except let them eat. And so it's a very clean meat.
You mentioned that your granddaughter is interested in the operation. So when you think of teaching that next generation and her taking over, expanding potentially, what does that look like for her and for you in that transition kind of?
I'm sure for her, it's probably gets tired of me lecturing her and things like that. And for me, I'm interested in trying to get her to be successful in this. Sometimes it's a little frustrating because they don't do things exactly the way you did them, which a factor of age, I suppose. But I think the transition is going as smooth as we can have it. You know, we'll see. I mean, teaching her how to operate the tractors, teaching her how to handle the animals. I mean, she's had a little bit of experience because she worked at one of the Turner ranches a couple of years ago out in Nebraska. She's been on the ground with them before, but, you know, this is a different type of operation here. It's much smaller and less people involved. It's, you know, typically I'm the one that goes out and handles the animals and feeds them and takes care of them. And even when I'm trying to catch animals or sort animals, I do that by myself. It's not a big team effort. So it's, she's learning, and I think things will go well.
You mentioned the handling side of things. Is it similar to handling beef? Because I grew up on a dairy farm, so I think of, you know, we had our pets, the super friendly ones. Do you have anything like that in bison herds?
We don't. There are some producers, we call them bottle babies. For whatever reason, the cows don't accept a calf, so the people raise the calves themselves. So those calves are very friendly. We had one many years ago that, you know, my wife, because I was working off the farm, she was feeding it all the time. You know, so we had one and it, you know, basically imprinted on her and follow her around all over the yard and stuff like that. And, you know, I couldn't get it to do anything. And, you know, it's nice until they get to be 200 or 300 pounds and they just don't know their own strength. That's when some things can go wrong. But people do have them. They bottle calves. I think there are some petting farms or whatever. Call them in the States here. Some of them have some calves that are relatively friendly, so you can pet them. Our animals are all pretty wild. We have a handling facility that's built for them, and we have a squeeze chute and some alleys and a tub to catch the animals and run them through. You know, in the squeeze chute, we can catch them to immobilize them, and then we can tag them, and pretty much that's all we do is just tag them, and we can identify them out in the field later on. Some people might give them worming medicine in the chutes. We give our worming medicine out in some mineral during the summer. So the only thing we use our chute for is for catching them, putting ear tags in them, and letting them go. Very, very, very rarely we might catch an animal that might not be doing well, and we might have the vet come over. But we've probably, in the 26 years we've been doing this, we've probably done that about 3 or 4 times. So it's they're a very healthy animal, and they don't need much much attention other than food and water.
This past spring, it was pretty wet for us, followed by that dry spell. So how did you manage through that? Can you touch a little bit more on just the land or even acreage that bison require?
We own 166 acres. We have about 100 acres that are fenced in for the animals. I mean, the spring, you know, May and June were tough months because of the rain, but the grass grew crazily. And so we're a grass-fed operation, and it was of no consequence to the animals as far as they were concerned. But, the animals didn't mind it at all. The grass was so plentiful, it was ridiculous. So, I mean, it was a good season for them. And then probably in August and September, it got pretty dry. But I think we had enough reserve in our pastures. I figure you can raise one animal unit, so let's say a cow, and perhaps her calf up to 6 months old. You could raise a pair like that on about an acre to an acre and a half here in the Mount Calvary area or in Fond du Lac County. So it doesn't take much to keep the animals. Like I said, we have about 100 acres fenced in, and by the time we were done calving the spring, we were probably up to 48 animals. So you can see we were well balanced as far as acres for pasture versus the number of animals that we had.
Can you give us an overview of the state of bison production in Wisconsin? How are numbers looking? Just how are our bison producers doing?
In the state of Wisconsin, I think we're kind of mimicking what's happening on the national level. According to the 2022 census, Wisconsin had 6,754 bison on 83 farms. We ranked 9th with respect to the bison numbers when compared to other states, and we ranked 5th with respect to the number of farms raising bison. So I think that's a pretty good statistic. I mean, the states that had more bison than Wisconsin are Colorado, Kansas, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, and Wyoming. So I think we do pretty good. Our our numbers were up from the 2017 census to the 22 census, and both in farms and the number of animals, which reflects the same on the national level as well. Nationally, we have about 192,000 animals, and those animals are on about 2,000 ranches across the country. There's about 10,000 bison that are state and other public herds, and about 30,000 animals that are on tribal lands. The estimated herd size in North America today is about 400,000. That includes the animals up in Canada, which is around 150,000.
What does demand look like then for in Wisconsin? Are there certain times of year that have more consumer demand than others, or any trends that stick out to you?
I mean, obviously during the summer, we probably have more sales than we do in winter. It's grilling season, so they're buying steaks and burgers and stuff like that and ground meat. But we do have a good demand for our roasts, especially in fall and winter. And then, of course, you know, the steaks and the ground, there's still a demand there, too. What we're observing is we seem to have our customers here at Blue Stem Bison, because we started running out of meat this past July and August, they recognize that, and they're starting to buy more now so they don't get caught without having the ability to buy meat. Some people are looking ahead and buying what they need for the next 6 months or a year or whatever, instead of just buying on a monthly or a weekly basis. The demand for the meat is very good. I think the supply on a national level is stretched. I think there's more of a demand than there's going to be a supply, which is going to drive prices up a little bit, but that's the way the free market works.
When it comes to the processing, then, is it hard to find processors that take bison? Is it a specialty job that you guys need, or is it pretty common?
In Wisconsin, we have both state-inspected plants and federally-inspected plants. So in the fiscal year ending in 2022 in the state of Wisconsin at the state-inspected plants, there were 1,100 animals slaughtered. And at the end of 2021 on the federally-inspected plants, there were a little over 400 animals processed. So I think we have the same problem that everybody else is having. To get as far as capacity is concerned at the slaughter plants. So, I mean, we schedule our animals for processing 2 years in advance of when they're going to get processed. So it just takes a little bit more planning.
And then what's ahead for the Wisconsin Bison Producers Association? Or is there anything else that you wish consumers knew about bison?
What we try and stress to the consumer is, you know, have maybe once a week serve bison or use bison in your meal regimen. Because the more of the demand for the meat, the more animals are going to be produced, because it becomes a profitable thing for the rancher to do. So, I mean, we encourage consumers to try and have bison at least one day a week. You know, bison is America's original red meat, so it's something to consider as well as the health aspects of bison. You know, and this is the way you grow the herd is by creating a demand for the meat.
So when you guys are processing, you've obviously were here for the meat, but do you guys use other parts of the bison at all, like the hide or anything?
We do. I keep all of our skulls, and I have them cleaned what we call a European mount. It's just the bone, basically, and we sell those. And if you have animals slaughtered in December and January, the hides are in good condition then. And then some people have them tanned with the hair on, and they create bison rugs. And then every once in a while, someone will want to make a coat or something like that, but... You know, all we can do is supply the green hide for that. But yeah, people do, this year was the first time we harvested the tallow, I guess was what you'd call it. We had a request for that, and that consumer bought everything that we got from those nine animals. And I don't know what they use it for. I think she said you're going to use it for making soap or perfume or something. I don't know. People have all kinds of things to do with this stuff, and I think it's kind of interesting. So we do use the other parts. I mean, the livers is, we keep the livers and the hearts and the kidneys. So there's I guess, a little waste.
Once again, Patrick Reese, Board of Directors of the Wisconsin Bison Producers Association, along with us. With the growing interest in responsibly sourced meat, it's clear that bison could play a big role in the future of agriculture in Wisconsin and beyond. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments, and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
Wisconsin. It extends from Omaha Prairie to Sheen through Madison up toward Ozaukee and Washington counties, all the rest of southeast Wisconsin under that dense fog advisory till 9. It'll freeze on your windshield. Could make slippery spots and stretches. Be on the alert. Everybody north of that line, with the exception of the lakeshore, under a winter weather advisory today. The eastern part of that area, Fond du Lac, Oshkosh, Beaver Dam, and up toward Green Bay, under that winter weather advisory till 9 this morning. Further west, the winter weather advisory in effect until noon. No precipitation here yet, but low pressure is going to stream up out of the Gulf of Mexico. Foggy, cloudy, and I expect rain is going to become a bigger part of our features here as we head on through Thursday and start toward the weekend. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump. Patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Well, Stu, I'm certainly glad we got to enjoy a white Christmas, but it sounds like if we do get rain on the way later this week, that'll leave us with maybe just ice.
Yeah, ice and the snow that we have is going to go away. That feeds into the fog. You know, it kind of self-propels itself. We get more of that mild air than fog, and that helps to melt more snow and make more fog and cloudy skies. Low pressure moving up out of the south will lead to some precipitation. In fact, today, clouds, fog, a little drizzle possible here later in the south, and I expect temps to make their way even up into the mid-30s in the north, upper 30s south, southeast winds about 5. Clouds, fog, some rain developing later tonight. Southern Wisconsin, temps only falling back to freezing or above with the southeast breeze. Clouds, fog on Friday, and rain. Initially, we're still not talking about much. We could see close to a tenth of an inch of rain during the day Friday. Could push us to a quarter Friday night into early Saturday. Upper 30s and low 40s on Friday, and a lot of 40s, even an upper 40 in southern Wisconsin Saturday. Still with southwest winds, pretty light, but Stephanie, looks like some moisture. And like you say, that ice more likely going to see all the snow melt off and a little sloppiness here to take us in the weekend.
We'll talk more about the weekend forecast tomorrow morning, Stu. Again, Merry Christmas. And if you're traveling today, exercise caution with fog and ice advisories. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Coming back to you after this.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A new study by Pew Research finds Americans broadly support such democracy reforms as making Election Day a holiday and 2 weeks of in-person early voting, but also think voters must use government-issued ID and voting machines should have paper backup. Pew surveyed over 5,100 American adults in January 2024 from a pool which reflects the demographics of the U.S. It found an increasing number of Americans, 72%, supported making Election Day a national holiday, and 76% supported 2 weeks of in-person early voting. The public is split, however, on having a choice for mail-in voting, with 57% supporting and 41% opposing. Among Republicans, support for mail-in voting dropped in 4 years from 49% to 28%, likely in response to former President Donald Trump's baseless fraud claims. While voting rights groups have tried to protect voting for the elderly, disabled, and students, 81% of Americans support voting only with a government-issued ID, up among all partisan stripes. Support for Election Day registration and automatic voter registration through the DMV declined slightly since 2021, but is down 10% among Republicans. Pew also found notable differences among younger adults and communities of color who are more likely to support early voting, mail-in voting, and automatic and Election Day registration. We have a link to the full Pew survey at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Police in Arizona say there's nothing for the public to worry about after a shooting outside of a TSA checkpoint at Sky Harbor Airport left four people hurt. Phoenix Police Sergeant Maria Reeson said it's believed to be an isolated incident caused by an altercation within a group.
This incident has been resolved. It was resolved very quickly. There's nobody outstanding. We are not looking. We do not believe that there's any suspects out there outstanding. I want to put everybody at ease.
Three people, including a 9-year-old boy, taken to hospitals in New York City after a taxi cab jumped a curb and hit six pedestrians. Police say the driver may have suffered a medical episode. The investigation's underway into what caused the Azerbaijani airliner with 67 people on board to crash into Kazakhstan. Officials there say 38 people were killed and 29 survived. In the U.S., severe weather hammering the West Coast with heavy rain and snow in parts of the region east to the Rocky Mountains. This is ABC.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Sequels led the way at last weekend's domestic box office. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 led the way with $62 million and was followed up by Mufasa, the Lion King prequel, which finished with a disappointing $35 million at the U.S. box office, despite playing on 400 more screens than Sonic. Despite grabbing second place in the U.S., Mufasa was number one globally with a take of $122 million. Finishing in third place was the juggernaut Wicked, which pulled in $13.5 million at the box office, putting its grand total domestically at about $400 million. Wicked leapfrogged Moana 2, which finished in fourth place with $13.1 million at the box office. The borderline religious film Homestead finished in fifth place with $6.6 million despite not-so-great reviews. The Brutalist, a three-and-a-half-hour film that actually has an intermission, opened in limited release and pulled in $266,000, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it was only on four screens. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks at home tonight in Milwaukee against the Nets. The Bucks are 16-12, 10-4 at home, heading in the right direction. Bobby Portis credits head coach Doc Rivers for the turnaround.
Sometimes when you have a coach that instills confidence in you, it's easy to go out there and play. I played on teams where the coach don't want you to shoot. You know, sometimes you have coaches that have different philosophies and different ways of coaching, and I think his way of coaching kind of instills confidence.
College basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles taking some time off. Their next game is on New Year's Eve. Marquette ranked 8th in the nation. They don't face another ranked team until after January when they host number 11th ranked UConn in Milwaukee. NFL, the Packers holding practice preparing for Minnesota on Sunday. And in college football, a report says the Badgers are losing running back Tawee Walker to the transfer portal. Walker led the team in rushing with 864 yards and 10 touchdowns. Receiver Will Pauling accepting an offer from Notre Dame. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy and drizzly with a little patchy fog off and on at times here today. Our high right around 36 this afternoon. The wind out of the south at about 10 to 20. Tonight, more fog, more clouds, more drizzle. 34 tomorrow. Cloudy with light rain, 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 25.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
That's not to say Wisconsin doesn't have it.
Welcome back on a Thursday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you, and you're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. Be careful of the fog out there today, mixed with some icy conditions. A fog advisory goes until 9 a.m. this morning across much of southern Wisconsin. In other news today, agricultural groups, including the American Farm Bureau Federation, have tagged labor as the number one issue facing farmers in the new year. As agriculture relies heavily on guest workers, how does the Trump administration's plan for deportation going to play out for farmers? Wisconsin Farm Bureau's Director of National Affairs, Tyler Wensloff, explains that the U.S. can have the best of both worlds when it comes to a secure border and a guest worker program that works for the farm economy.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's the number one issue when I talk to our members is that labor and trying to keep their labor, trying to find labor is one of the biggest limiting factors on what they can do and making sure that they can continue to operate when they need to. When you talk to farmers and see what, you know, what kind of thoughts they have on, you know, Trump's mass deportation plan, I think we're all taking a wait and see. You know, he hasn't really laid out exactly what that's going to look like, and we want to make sure that when we talk to his transition team that we understand exactly what their plans are and how they plan to implement that. And we're looking for some kind of written details before we start to get too worried about what it's going to look like.
Would mass deportation mean that anyone working on a farm with a work visa is at risk?
Well, I think when you start talking about mass deportation and you start to single out a single group, it gets to be a little bit difficult. And you have to remember that agriculture is not the only industry that has, you know, a guest worker program or those that help supplement local workforce. So it's important that we remember all the industry and how that ripple effect would go throughout the economy. And so we're going to continue to take a wait-and-see attitude and hopefully try to influence behind the scenes to see that this can be done in a way that doesn't completely affect our agricultural industry in Wisconsin.
If you could put a number on it or a percentage for us, how many Wisconsin farmers rely on guest workers?
The issue with Wisconsin is that we have we are not part of the H-2A program. Dairy is exclusively written out of the program. So we have to do a little bit of extra work to find our workers. And so to put an exact percentage on it, I couldn't tell you, but I know it's quite a high number, and some have estimated as much as 50%. I don't think it's that high, but it's a number that's would have a damaging effect on our economy.
You know, one of the newest Farm Bureau member benefits is actually to work with the Great Lakes Ag Labor Service to recruit H-2A workers, guest workers, migrant labor. So, I mean, it is something that your members think is valuable.
For sure. And, you know, one of the things that we're working on is trying to get that H-2A program opened up to dairy and then also making it year-round. Right now it's on, they're on 10-month contracts, and we'd like to have it open to, and you know, all 24/7, 365. And if we can do that, working with our representatives, they know how important getting some kind of program would be. It becomes even a greater benefit to our members.
But as you said, a wait-and-see approach as we walk into a new Congress and a new administration.
Yeah, we're in a period of transition. You know, we're talking to his transition team and trying to reach out to members of Congress to see what other ideas that they have that they're going to try to put forward with the new administration. And so we're really looking forward to working with them and seeing what we can get done.
This is something that agriculture has been working on for like decades.
For sure, and it's something that's is going to be a very difficult conversation, but I think the border crisis has highlighted how important it is, and it's not that we can't have a secure border but also have ag labor, and so those issues are not connected in any way. And I think making sure that we have a secure border but also having the workforce that we rely is important, and I think it's something that we can get done.
Tyler Wenzloff, along with us. He's the Director of National Affairs with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. As he said, difficult conversations ahead as they tackle ag labor in the new year.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
You see the headlines all the time, consumers confused by food labels. Well, not if they shop at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here, asking you to take a closer look at the food labels at Bavaria Sausage. You know, they are working towards making sure when you take a look at whatever product they've got in the store, you know exactly what it is. They're using different colors. They're also making sure that there's a picture on that label to help you better understand the protein source that you're looking at. It's all about making sure they're combining the old world flavors, the artisan blends, and making sure that you understand when there's something new in the showcase, what is it and where did it come from? Simple information, easily understood. And of course, there's always someone there to answer your questions if you've got them. Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, located also online, BavariaSausage.com. Old recipes, new labels. Take a look.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up Seed Treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up Seed Treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Agricultural markets will open at 8:30 a.m. today after closing for the Christmas holiday. And speaking of Christmas, were cheese curds a part of your holiday celebration? Our own Ben Jarbo introduces us to some research happening on the UW-Madison campus regarding one of Wisconsin's favorite snacks.
If you were to go anywhere in the U.S. and ask someone what the number one food from Wisconsin is, they'd probably say a cheese curd. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo. And Dr. Ronnie Govindasamy Lucy with the Center for Dairy Research is here to explain why her recent research project is looking at the squeakiness of a cheese curd.
And we all know when we eat cheese curds, we love them to be squeaky. Unfortunately, this squeakiness, you know, is quickly lost about after 4 to 5 days after it's made. And currently we find that we can only have fresh cheese curds in few locations like Wisconsin, you know, because most of the plants which make cheese are located in the vicinity. Cheese curds which are sold in different parts, other locations, are often several weeks old and they lack the squeakiness, which we are all used to in a cheese curd. And then they also lack the refreshing taste of curds immediately after cheese making. So since this cheese curd is so popular, delicious snack, many consumers around the country are often interested in experiencing this squeaky treat. However, because of the short window of the squeakiness being lost, many people outside of Wisconsin cannot enjoy this unique delight. So we wanted to have more people outside of Wisconsin to get the squeaky curds. Now, also, you know, cheese curds are very good on-the-go source of protein. So if you can find approaches to extend squeakiness in cheese curd, can help in the widespread distribution sales of this snacks nationally. And maybe it could also offer export growth possibilities. So these are some of the reasons why we wanted to look at how we can go about extending the squeakiness of cheese curds. Also, another thing is also we have been doing a lot of work in other cheese varieties, looking at how we can extend the performance shelf life of cheese like mozzarella, cheddar cheese to make processed cheese so that we can export all these cheeses. And when you export cheese, they're being shipped to long distance. So we wanted to make sure that we can retain the properties of the cheese, you know, its performance shelf life. And also, we've been working with a lot of, we work in the dairy center, we work with a lot of different groups with the industry, and we've got feedback from industry and also consumer requests. So we carried out this research project because of that. And also in this project, I talked about how one of the things we did was to try to develop a method to measure squeakiness in cheese. Currently, there's no method except from sensorily retasting it and seeing, oh, it's squeaky. It's not squeaky. But we don't have a method to quantitatively tell how squeaky it is. So that is another reason why we wanted to understand why, how we can extend the shelf life of squeakiness. We need to understand how can we measure the squeakiness.
Dr. Govinda Samulusi says that with this partnership with the audiology department, they are using microphones to listen to every tiny squeak that a person has while they're chewing a cheese curd. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
To help augment some of the dull or dirty jobs that humans don't want to do, she tells us how widely used AI is in Wisconsin's workplace today.
So the U.S. Census Bureau recently released a report and ranked Wisconsin number one in all the states in the nation in terms of early AI adoption and in an employment-weighted share of businesses using AI. So right now, we have 15% of all the employees working in our state currently doing work with AI augmentation as part of their daily work life. And an additional 5% of businesses in our state are anticipating adopting AI within the next 6 months. So we are really uniquely positioned, first in the nation, to be embracing this technology and to continue to move forward.
We talk about Wisconsin's workforce quantity shortage, and that's something that agriculture feels as well. Have you seen real-life examples of how artificial intelligence has been able to work in an agribusiness or a farm?
We had one of the first in the nation task force on AI and the workforce, and the governor really brought together all of our different industry leaders, and we had folks from labor, we had folks from the tech industry, from education, from government, and we brought everybody together and had this task force to put our minds at which type of policies, which type of investments, how can we help agriculture and all of our industries here in Wisconsin be best positioned to use this technology to keep them moving forward on our record-breaking pace. And one of the things we focused an entire meeting on in May is, you know, agriculture, our flagship industry here in Wisconsin, one of our largest economic drivers, and of course an industry near and dear to our heart as we are the Dairyland State. And what are we seeing in terms of specific trends for agriculture and AI? And we have seen some amazing work in this area. We know that AI is already helping farmers and other dairy and organic farming really look at, again, data and help with things like soil efficiency and weather patterns and how to be more productive and really boost efficiencies in terms of planting. And we know right now 18% of Wisconsin farmers are using precision agriculture practices, which are augmented from AI. Again, this is things like GPS, computer and farm equipment technology, to do seeding and soil maintenance, and also look at things like herd health on the dairy farm. We toured the Agriculture Center of Excellence in Wausau, which is through the tech college system there, and we looked at really cool automated robotic milking systems, and we know that dairy farms are using those technologies to help monitor herd health and the quantity of milk and the quality of milk. And again, this helps augment the fact that right now we know population shortages exist in our rural areas and that farmers, like every other industry, is having a hard time filling their vacancies, getting that quality workforce. So we're going to use this technology to augment the workforce we have and be more productive and more efficient.
I'm going to give you the final word here. If you could just sum up artificial intelligence's role in Wisconsin for us, where do you see it going from here?
So I really think it's important to say the robot, you know, overlords are not taking over humans and ruling the world. We are looking at this technology as a way to harness the power to keep our economy moving forward, to fill some of the workforce gaps that we have, to take away the dull, the dirty, and the dangerous work from humans so that we can have humans doing more enjoyable, more quality jobs that are typically going to be higher paying because they aren't going to be repetitive and dull tasks. And we are going to harness this technology. Really, the governor and the state of Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has the framework of using ethical, equitable, and accessible AI to make good decisions that advance people and keep people at the front of our decision-making and the workforce at the front and our businesses at the front without, you know, really allowing these negative impacts and some of these scare tactics that we're hearing about the technology to come in. So we think it's going to be a great positive change. We're already seeing benefits from industries, from workers, by embracing AI, and we're going to continue to position Wisconsin to lead the nation in our early AI adoption to keep us moving forward.
Secretary Amy Pahacik leads the State Department of Workforce Development, walking us through how Wisconsin is approaching artificial intelligence. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
New research on agriculture's value in mitigating greenhouse gases. Today on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back to back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
A new study by 26 leading ag researchers shows agriculture could become greenhouse gas negative. One of those researchers is agronomy professor Chuck Rice from Kansas State University.
About 40% of the potential to be neutral or negative was through soil carbon sequestration. So how do we do that? Well, it's things like less tillage, looking at cover crops where possible, maybe apply organic amendments, manure or compost. The nice thing about that is when you sequester carbon, you improve soil health, which then makes that soil more productive and more resilient to weather extremes.
Rice says another focus of the study was on fertilizer management.
Nitrogen, a major input cost, looking at ways to improve nitrogen management. Then we went a little bit farther in looking at precision agriculture and how can we variably apply nitrogen.
Rice says the study also addressed non-productive land.
Studies have shown somewhere around 10 or 15% of a field is not productive. You're losing money just planting seed in the ground. If we can identify those areas with data and precision and remote sensing, then we can maybe take those areas and putting into some other land use.
Tomorrow, how the livestock sector factors in. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Christmas night travel was briefly interrupted at Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport as police say what appears to have started as a family argument escalated into gunfire. ABC's Jim Ryan has details.
Investigators have not determined what started the fight, but they stress that it all happened in a food court outside of the secured area in Terminal 4. In other words, no weapons slipped through the TSA checkpoint. Four of the five people involved in the armed family fight were hospitalized, one woman in critical condition.
Weather could have an impact on post-Christmas travel as heavy rain from Washington State to Northern California is expected. Further inland, up to 3 feet of snow is possible. The Ohio Corrections Department says a corrections officer was killed in a Christmas Day assault by an inmate at Ross Correctional Institution south of Columbus. And it's a day of mourning in Azerbaijan for the victims of Wednesday's air crash. 29 people survived with injuries. This is ABC News. Bird flu worries are for